Welcome to the One Piece Manga Bros Podcast, Episode 2, and as I promised, and we've so far, we're one episode, we've survived. We have a guest.
Yep.
We kidnapped, hey. Hijacked, and stole Faxity.
Yeah, what up, dude? The bullying was brutal. It was too tough to go through. The torture, the pain, the scuff marks, everything was just, it was a lot.
You know how much it costs to ship a human now?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's insane.
I had to drill the holes in the box.
Thank you for that.
Jesus Christ. If you're new to the One Piece Manga Bros podcast, let me explain what's going on. It's a One Piece podcast by fans for fans is pretty much the goal. We're all kind of addicted to One Piece. I have become Omega addicted, which is why my entire arm is covered in a One Piece tattoo that I don't even think that I can. I have to avoid lifting it because I might spoil Faxity, but it's okay. We're going through, and we are we're checking out Orange Town, Chapter 8. Through 21, the second official arc of the One Piece manga. Don't worry, if you're new here, we're not going to spoil you. We're going to stay spoiler free for pretty much the first half, talk about the arc, give our thoughts about it, details and all that jazz, and then we're going to migrate and move on and discuss more spoiler stuff. And don't worry, Fax, we know what we can't say. Faxity's currently an Impel Down to give idea of where we're at, and I think that's a pretty good place to just kick off. Could we just talk about fucking Buggy for one goddamn second?
Oh my god.
I think so. I think it's okay to do that.
I need to know, Fax, as the guest, what are your thoughts on Buggy?
Okay.
You've finally been reunited.
Yeah. Dude, initially when I first watched the anime, it was almost like a year ago at this point, I didn't like Buggy at all. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
I was a Buggy hater. I don't know. I didn't fuck with it. But now reading it back, I don't know. I like this dude a lot. I like how menacing he was initially, mm-hmm. like when he's introduced.
He came across more evil than in the anime.
Yeah. Yes. Way yes. sinister.
Yes. Crazy. I love it.
I have a different voice for manga Buggy than I do for anime Buggy. He seems like so much more sinister in the manga. His voice seems like it'd be like way more gruff. And like in rougher, right? As opposed to just like, well, the way he sounds in the manga, which is, or in the
like
anime,
it,
which
feel
is
like
not
it
that.
It fits him so well, though. Like, I love Buggy's voice.
It does and it doesn't. But then, but that's what I'm saying. The differences in the manga, like, it actually feels that far apart. Like, especially the way it's drawn, too. Mm-hmm. Like, where he's shaded a lot more. Like, he's like more covered in darkness.
Mm hmm. Yeah, I have a list of the anime manga changes. I guess, do you guys want to, like, discuss the animated manga changes as we go through the chapter, or do you want to, like, save it for the end and just kind of have us talk about the chapter first?
Cool. Either one.
All right, well, we'll figure it out. So, obviously, the chapter 8 is where it kicks off. It's the final chapter in the first volume, and it starts with a lot of things that I didn't realize is Zoro's absolute horrid sense of direction is teased that early on. He literally says, but I couldn't find my way back to the village. He couldn't even get back home.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't even make it back home. Not even like he got lost in a place he wasn't there. Couldn't get back to his hometown.
Well, I mean, it even affected his job because he was like, he couldn't even like track the pirates that he was originally finding. He literally just stayed in one spot and like let people come to him. Like, he is essentially the son of bounty hunters, just like letting people gravitate towards him and then he'll attack them.
Yeah, dude, 100%. It also, like, I like Luffy saying, he's like, we need a cook, we need a musician. Like, he starts rattling off some people that he like he wants on the crew. And then we kind of get the Buggy stranded pirates and Zoro and Nami and all that. But I feel like it really, like, that's where we see Nami shine, and we see that she's a navigator. You know, we see that she can control that. I don't know if I just forgot it. I don't remember that from watching the anime.
No.
I wasn't sure if that was in there or not, because she literally tells them the weather report right before it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fucking awesome, bro. Oh my God.
She also mentions tangerines a lot too. I noticed that.
Yeah,
like, I feel like that was like she really like was like,
I like money and tangerines.
Fucking tangerines.
The other thing too, like, do you notice how like Luffy just lands and Nami is just like, hey boss, and runs off, in the anime, like, they had that dialogue where they interacted with each other beforehand, but in the manga, they didn't. He just falls from the sky, and she instantly threw him under the bus.
Well, I think that. I appreciate about the manga is where it really does cut out, like, a lot of the stuff that's in the anime that, I mean, doesn't necessarily feel important. Like, it literally just gets to the point in the manga, and the story carries on from there.
It kind of cuts out any stuff that they think people maybe wouldn't care about. There's even one where later in the arc where she like steals the treasure. In the manga, it's just it happens off. We don't see it. But in the anime, there's an entire thing where she like sneaks down into the basement and like gets the drunk guy and like messes with him to get it and all that. Like they cut out like so much. But it's funny because the anime was only it's episode 4 to 8. So it's only like a 5-episode arc where this was a 14 chapters, I think.
Yeah, 14.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the later like One Piece arcs, like the pacing in this one was actually better than I realized when I first saw it. But no, 100% what you guys are saying about like Buggy being more terrifying in the manga, like when he killed the dude. Like, that didn't happen. Like, he forgave him in the anime.
That was crew.
I went back and watched the anime just to make sure, because I was like, I'm pretty sure he didn't kill this guy.
He didn't. He apologized. Or
he's like, I'm going to let you go this time. And I was like, not in the manga he doesn't. He says, fuck you.
Yeah, he seems way more ruthless. Like, he comes off more terrifying pirate. And like, not even, like, we're not even talking about the four kids dub. Like, this is just the normal series. Like, he seems way less terrifying, but his origins I guess make sense.
He's just like freaking insane. I love the way that he was drawn in the manga, like just the fact that they did so many more like shadows and everything to make him look so menacing. It was just you just got the intense pirate vibe like right away. Like, it wasn't like a slow introduction to it was just hit you with it instantly. You know this guy is menacing. It was awesome.
Well, and going with that too, like I like the way they kind of hide his power initially, and I think the anime did that as well. Where it's
I think so.
You can tell like when the guy's getting pretty good. Yeah, like when initially when he's getting choked, like you can't tell like how. Like it literally looks like he just has like Darth Vader force push, and like it's not until later like you realize like like it's actually him doing that.
Yeah, this arc felt very much like a pirate arc, right? Like. It's all set in stone. Like, they're talking about treasure. Nami's talking about treasure. Buggy's all about treasure. They get in the battle. They run off with the treasure when it all concludes. Like, it felt very much like, all right, this is a pirate story.
Well, it's a pirate story, and I think, like, what it did to it, it sets, like, this really good precedent of, like, the lengths people will go to defend. Like, personal treasure came up a lot, too. It wasn't just, like, treasure. It was personal treasure. Like, like you said, the straw hat, the treasure itself for why Nami needs the money, and a Boodle with the town, right? Like every Choo-Choo, of course. The true hero of Orange Town. but no, like I like this because like if you want to like dig a little bit deeper, it literally shows the links that like normal people will go to protect what's most important to them. I thought that was like a really good theme all the way through.
I felt like the anime handled the choo-choo. I can't remember if it's like shoo-shoo or choo-choo. I always mess it up, but I'm terrible with names.
I always say choo-choo.
Is like, I felt like it has more of an emotional impact. And I don't know if it's because they I don't know. Like, and I was thinking about it while I was reading. Like, was it just the music that got me? Was it the fact that like they just dragged out the scenes in a way that it kind of hits you more emotionally? Because you're right. Like, up until that point, like, we've had the trim down, like, cut the fat, and it was like, yo, I'm about this. Let's go. But in this moment, I felt like the sad aspect of him just kind of came and went really quick.
I can't lie. I teared up. Like,
I got sad over the shoo-shoo storyline, man. I teared up
over, like, yo, when he put that dog food down in front of him, and, like, man's just, like, carried. I was like, oh, god damn, I'm done. It's over. No, I see what, like, the music is so important in One Piece.
It is.
And it's, like, a lot of times understated, like, in the story and, like, with everything happening, that, like, I can see what you're talking about, where, like, just that touch alone, like, can make it something, like, way more emotional. Mm-hmm. But I might have been playing the music in my head when I was reading, too, so, like...
For me, like, I tried to read a little bit in color, and I was like, no, I'm going back to black and white.
Really? So you chose to, because I've been doing color. I didn't really. So what made you decide to go back to the black and white?
I just I appreciate the shading, I guess is the best way to put it.
Like I might have to try that.
Like a lot of like his artwork. Like
see, I would like to see the way Buggy looked in color.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it was the black and white that made him look way meaner.
It was very he made him look very ominous and I didn't have that
like he seemed darker, but like with the what you guys were describing about him seeing ominous, it didn't feel like that reading the color. It just felt like Buggy.
Yeah, definitely check out the black and white then. It felt like that's why I was saying like the voice in like the manga Buggy sounds different in my head than the anime one.
Manga because Buggy like it's the lack of terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't mind killing people. Like, just he just doesn't care at all, and he just seems so. He comes across so much more ruthless. So, one of my favorite changes that I didn't realize. So, you know how Luffy and Shushu get into that fight?
Oh my god, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. And you know how, like, you know, in the anime, it's kind of like, why the fuck Luffy hitting the dog? Like, why'd the dog attack him? All he did was pat him on the head. Like, why is this dog so mean? In the manga, and I didn't even realize it until after when I was going through looking at the changes, Luffy pokes him in the eye. But in the anime, he just pokes him on the head. So they make Choo-Choo look like a dick in the anime. But, like, of course he attacked him. He poked him in the fucking eye, dude.
That's so good. I never realized that. I know. Wow.
I don't know why. I do. I'm going to stop reading the color. You guys have convinced me.
We have accomplished one thing here today.
But yeah, because I remember, like, I definitely got, like, super sad to Choo-Choo back when I first watched it in the anime. But, like, I remember being like, yo, why is this dog such a dick? Because I just always assumed that, like, Luffy touched him and he attacked. But no. Like,
why are we helping him? He sucks. He jabs
him in the eye. He's like, what do you do, bitch? I'd fucking bite his ass, too.
Can I don't know if this is going to come up, so I do want to go ahead and just bring up the level of detail. I don't know if you guys know what panel I'm talking about. Like, it's like the first time he shoots a buggy ball, and like it's not that the houses are just like explode, like the way they bend as though like there's an air push, like
dude, against them,
the
detail
is so good. Oh my god. Like I literally just stopped reading and looked at that panel for like 20 minutes. Just like trying to pick out everything. I freaking loved that.
Yeah, I was scanning each image so hard.
It was like one of the only images I actually saved from all of that when
oh really?
Online. I was like, "Whoa, what the fuck?"
It's so good, dude.
I mean, like I felt the same way with Moji when he like first shows Moji, like the lion.
Dude, it looks like he painted Moji with like some gloss. Dude, like him and Richie look like so like, damn like, clean. They look like they're going to do a Vegas show.
I mean, his crew was just ridiculous as a whole.
Yeah,
but like they did, they came across menacing opposed to like really corny. But it also like it made the Straw Hats look even that much stronger. Like the amount of flexing that Zoro did in this arc, like I forgot about the amount of flexing that he pulled during these fights. Like one of the most ruthless like panels in manga I've seen is literally today when Zoro just kicked the fucking unicycle out from under him. He's like, I'm sick of this shit. Get off the goddamn circus thing.
Oh. That was so good. I love when like he was already getting messed up by the acrobat dude. And then he's just like, you know, you keep going for my wound. You know, I don't give a shit about that. Let me just stab it and yank it out myself. Just to be like, you know what? Let me flex on you. Let me just flex
on you. Fun fact, that's another change. In the anime, he doesn't cut himself.
Really?
He stands still and lets Kabaji attack him. But so like, it's just right? There's so many small details. Like, since we've been reading, like, the first part with, like, Kobe getting shot when he didn't get shot and, like, random little things. Like, yeah, Zoro did not cut himself in the anime. He's such a fucking Giga Chad, dude.
Damn. I love Zoro. Oh, my God. There's a reason why he's number one in my heart.
He's just like, is this enough of a handicap? It's also, like, I feel like it also sets the precedent because how many times does Zoro get handicapped throughout the series? Like, I feel like every single arc.
It's every goddamn time.
Every single arc, he gets handicapped in some way. Like, he gets fucked up by something, and it's like, well,
I mean, Mihawk gave him a pretty big handicap in a few arcs from now. So.
Jesus Christ.
That's facts. another one in chapter 10. I forgot about this, and I don't know if it's just because of as far as I've gotten, so like maybe you and Fax haven't forgotten already. I forgot about Nami's staff. Like that's her original, like pulling out the staff.
Yep. No, I knew about it. Yeah, I remember it.
I completely forgot.
I forgot about it. Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, wait, that was a thing?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't process in my brain at all for like a solid good 5-10 minutes. I was like,
I don't know why. I don't know why I specifically remember that, because it's not like she used it so much.
No,
that
it
like,
wasn't. It was very uncommon because she doesn't really fight frequently. Like she does when she has to and when she's put in like a serious situation. Like, but generally she's not pulling it out and beating ass, although she did. I mean, there was a lot of foreshadowing in this arc that I didn't realize, like her pulling out the weapon and seeing that, the navigator stuff, Luffy talking about the people he wants on the crew, and like Zoro not being able to cut through the cage, like not being able to cut through little tiny bars.
That took me aback for a minute.
Yeah, I was just like, you forget like, how much sir? They grow, you know? Like, you're just like, what the fuck, dude?
So he just carried it
with the giant wound from when Buggy stabbed him.
Bro, they were like, 5 men it took us to get this cage up here. And then Zoro just does it with the wound and everything.
Yeah.
I love the scene. Like, he's sitting on the roof with it. Like, they're just like hanging out on top of a roof. He's like, yeah, we'll just rest here for a second.
I can't remember if this was one of the changes. I think it might have been when, like, initially when we saw, the Buggy Pirates go onto the ship with Zoro.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned in there when they talked about Nami, like, it was the first time where he was like, oh, a navigator. Maybe she could be a part of our crew. And I went back and looked at the anime and it wasn't even there, so.
Really?
Okay.
Huh.
It's kind of it's weird, right? Like you expect the anime to be different, but some of the changes are so just like, why? Like it didn't save you time or extend it. It's just like you just changed the words. Like why did you do that? And I felt like that a couple times that it seems like, I don't know how to explain it. Like it almost makes it feels like the characters are more consistent in like the way they act opposed to deviating it. Like Zoro cutting himself, I mean, that's not surprising, right? Like I don't want to spoil
that sounds like
a
something
future
he would
arc
do.
Yet, but like there's an arc where Zoro talks about chopping off a thing, you know? And I just like that is Zoro. So it is so different compared to the anime of like, yeah, just attack me. Like, nah, Zoro would be the one to be like, fuck you, bitch. Now what?
I mean, the guy was on a unicycle as well. Like, Baji, without a doubt, is like one of the most annoying characters, I think, in One Piece, just because it's a unicycle. I'm not saying it's wrong to ride a unicycle. I'm just saying it's weird to have a sword and a unicycle. Just pick one.
It is dangerous.
And use it in battle. It's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pose a question to you real quick, guys. I may have missed this, but what was Buggy actually doing there? Because they were chasing Nami, correct?
Yes.
But does it explain why Buggy was even there?
I mean, like, they just got done terrorizing the townspeople and taking all their money.
Yeah, and like, well, what happened was like he thought somebody in the town made fun of his nose, I think, and he was like, "Well, time to ruin this place."
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay,
it was either that sounds or for true, the like, Grand Line map. I know they had the Grand Line map, but I don't remember if they got it at Orangetown. Yeah, he just went there to pillage. Yeah, he just went there to fuck people up.
Because that's what I was curious about. Because I was like, he has the map to the Grand Line, and he has 10 million berries, which is what Nami stole. I'm like, what's he doing in this part of the ocean? Why isn't man's like, you know, jet setting? But
10% of Nami's goal, too, for that 100,000 berries.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, man, that's actually, for as long as it took her, that was actually like a really big get.
Yeah, and that was another one of the like the weird changes is in the manga she says like I need 100,000 berries to buy a certain island, or certain town, a certain village. In the anime, she just says she needs 100,000 berries, but she never specifies what for. And that's another one I don't know why they cut that out.
Like 100 million, right?
Yeah, 100 million.
Yeah,
Did I say 100,000?
Yeah, I was like
100 million. Yeah, 100 million. So you would say boom, Moji is you prefer Moji to Kabaji?
I think that we all know the true captain is Richie, without a doubt. Like Richie. We know Richie runs the show.
Dude, Luffy's slam to Richie was so fucking.
Yo, I
was like, I don't
Luffy
know
doesn't
if
care, bro.
Yeah, I don't know if it wasn't as brutal, but it I don't remember it feeling as brutal when I watched the anime. Like, I don't know if it's a manga thing, but I was like, damn, I know he evil tiger, but you didn't have to do him like that.
Well, I mean, like, just to absolutely like rubber band himself and like do the spin or whatever, like.
Oh my god!
Everything seems so much hard. Like, it seems like it hits so much harder in the manga for some reason. I don't know if it's like, you know, it's like the whole idea of what you can create in your mind is stronger than what you actually see. But like, dude, just like the idea of like him body slamming him like that is insane.
The Gum Gum Mallet. Is what it was called. I don't know how many times he uses that as the series progresses, but I liked the variety.
I don't remember it.
Because, like, in the first arc, right, like, versus Alvida, like, Luffy literally just drops her in one punch. But in this one, like, all of the fights, like, Luffy had to use a lot of different fights and or a lot of different abilities. And, like, even against Buggy in that fight, like, Luffy had to hit him quite a few times. Like, it wasn't a very simple fight compared to that, and I feel like it does set up like the later arcs because Luffy's just not OP.
Didn't he use like Sickle as well? And I don't even remember that in the anime.
I believe so. He used Sickle, Mallet.
He used Balloon as well, and I don't remember him using it that early.
Balloon, I don't know when he used it, but Sickle, like, I remember him using it in the anime, but you're right. I don't know how frequently or if he uses it again. Because it's just the thing where he does the kick and it kind of, like, almost sends, like, a...
It, like, arcs back more than, like, pulls back.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was Axe, wasn't it?
No, Axe is, like, up and down.
Axe is the foot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They also might change the names in the manga to the anime. I honestly don't know. I guess we'll find
out. It's true. Sure. Yeah.
We also got to see what were you saying?
I was going to say, it also depends on what subtitles you watch as well, depending on probably what the move is called.
True.
Unless you're a dub, then whatever.
I can't do dub. I tried. No offense to people watch dub. I just something about Luffy.
No, yeah.
But we got to see.
We just don't respect you as people.
We finally saw Luffy like seriously angry, I feel like, for the first time. Like, you know, he does get mad.
I mean,
with
his hat, bro.
Yeah. I mean, the anger there, and even like the punch he did that wasn't relevant to the hat, but I think he did it to Moji, is just one of those top tier Luffy punches. Like, the way that was drawn was beautiful.
Oh, honestly.
It was so beautiful, dude.
Yeah, that was like where it was kind of like faded out more, and like the lines were being drawn in.
That was the most emotional part for me. Was after that, and Luffy like talking to him and like telling him he did a good job. That hit me a little bit more than like even the backstory. Like, just Luffy like talking to him and like seeing Choo Choo, knowing like, well, it's gone.
I got you a bag of food though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't remind me, man.
Yeah, dude, that casual set down of the box, it's like, oh, come on, bro.
The mayor also, less of a pussy in the manga. You know, he decides to fight, and I don't know if you guys knew this, so when Buggy does the thing where he, like, grabs him by the throat, right, his power's revealed, and he starts choking him out, and he starts, like, punching himself in the neck, like, even though he knows it's gonna hurt him, he just gets clapped in the anime. He doesn't do that.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah. Just one time?
They just do the anime, from what I'm coming to the conclusion. They just cut out all the badass, like, related things that I don't know if... I wouldn't say it's even self-harm, because, like, you know, when they cut out, like, Kobe got stabbed, not shot. But, like, they just keep cutting out all the badass moments, dude. I don't get it.
It's like, we can't show it an old man getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, he's, like, by himself. That's too much. And then, like you said, the one scene with that panel when he blows the thing with the buggy balls and Zoro's sleeping in the fucking house, dude.
Yeah, man just walked out.
I was like, wow, why'd you guys wake me up? It's kind
of
rude.
That's a hell of an alarm.
I do love, even this early on, that they've set like the character personalities and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. so much has changed from the beginning. But like Luffy looking at someone and being like, you're going to be part of my crew. Mm-hmm. Like, that hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the navigation, the loss of direction, Buggy himself. Like, there's so much that, like, and it's a credit to what Oda does, to where, mm-hmm. like, he pinpoints what these people are going to be and, like, keeps them in line with that. So, like, you never get, like, whiplash, even though we've seen the anime, mm-hmm. and coming back to this, it feels incredibly familiar because, like, they grow as people, but it's not so much in, like, changing who they are.
Yeah, like, they have character development, but they never yeah. seem to stray too far from their personalities.
It's very well put.
There's a lot of character, like, for how early on like mm-hmm. we are right now in arcs, like, there's a lot of character development being
yeah.
set.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the, like, fallout on the crew, too, right? Like, Buggy using his men as shields when they fire the Buggy Ball back, and, like, Kabaji, like, using Richie as a shield, and seeing, like, Moji, like, get so upset and mad, and it's like, bro, like, that's fucked up. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, he's your superior, right? Like, he grabbed his superior's lion and was like, what? Like, what are you going to
do? Bro?
Yeah. Like, it's just the amount of, like, disrespect. But that seems to be par for the course for Buggy and his crew. Like, Buggy just doesn't care.
It made it super interesting because it seems like even though they are a crew, everybody's kind of out for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to, like, you know, eventually things don't change in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, him going, like, being out for themselves, I mean, it's exactly what Buggy is, right? Like, we get the flashback yeah. with him being on, you know, a ship, and, you know, like, Buggy is. He's willing to betray them and, like, you know, steal the devil fruit, steal the treasure, and just dip. And he's like, ah, fuck you all. Not my job.
I think this arc is, like, a really, like, a prime example of, like, because Nami was, like, hugely involved, like, joining the crew and talking about, like, pirates and how she never wants to join a pirate crew. Mm-hmm. And getting to see Buggy's crew, right, an example of pirates, and then again getting to see how Luffy's handling his crew, I think mm-hmm. that really opened up, like, you know, Nami's, like, character progression just in this arc, mm-hmm. of where Luffy stands with being a pirate compared to, you know, Buggy, who's tossing mans in front of cannons and just shooting them.
Right, like, right.
I mean, there's just, it's so drastically different, like, how Luffy is compared to other pirates in general.
Yeah, very true. I love how, like, the first time that we saw anything, like, sort of slightly change with Nami was when Luffy put down the food for Shushu.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first, like, thing that clicked for her. And it was just, like, cool to see that. I can't remember if that's how it went in the show, because it's been so long. But I just love that was the moment.
Yeah.
That just, like, started it.
I mean, it made her realize that he's willing to put other people before himself, and, like, he does yeah. care about other people.
Well, unlike most pirates, you know.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, I that's also the theme of One Piece and you know, Luffy's character in general, where it's like that's how, like, half the arcs end of misunderstandings, right? Where they think Luffy's going to be this bad guy because pirate, and then it's just like, no, like his the point of him is freedom. And doing what he wants to do, as opposed to, like, you know, the pillaging.
See here on something. I wanted to talk about, just because we're at this point.
Yeah.
Could we just talk about the early sketch of Boogie the Clown?
Boogie
yes,
the Clown.
I have,
we'll
yes,
edit that in and post so an image can be seen. But oh my god, Boogie, dude, I was like, is that what he's supposed to look like without his nose? And then I realized that it was just an early design. It's so much worse. I'm so happy he didn't make Boogie.
I love those images and, like, that information between, you know, chapters. Mm-hmm. It's like so just good. like yeah. I love the fact that, like, you know, that you get kind of get a peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
On a lot yeah. of stuff, well, like, he explains Boogie the Clown, and, like, you know, after
a Viking
you read another
show
chapter,
he liked as a
more.
Kid,
yeah, mm-hmm. Viking show, like it's so interesting, and I completely understand why people can get attached to characters now, because now they're getting not only a character, but they're understanding
where it came from and
the process of where it came from. Yeah. You know,
the reason why he changed it from Boogie to Boogie, all because there was like a show he liked, or I think it was like a manga or something, where they had a Boogie character, and he was like, "Oh fuck, I gotta change it now." God damn it. thank you to whoever came up with Boogie first, that we got Boogie and not Boogie.
Do you imagine if we had to actively talk about Boogie for an hour and use that name consistently and keep a straight face? Like, dude, it wouldn't happen.
I'd lose my mind, dude. I don't even know. The biggest thing I think I'm most excited for, though, is just to see, like, just over time, like, the development and learning more about, like, the backstory of it. Like, the fact that Buggy was on the ship, he was with Shanks, and seeing, like, okay, he was with Shanks, who we know is this incredible pirate, right? Like, it's the pirate Luffy looks up to. It's, like, a guy that can look at a fucking Sea King, and it runs off in a panic and, you know, just sacrificed his arm, because why not? I just love the way that Oda tells backstories. I think I've come to the conclusion that, it, like... He does a good job with the writing in general, but the backstories, I feel like, is where he shines on, like, a completely different, like, level.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh. Okay, fine. It's fine.
You're the guest here, bro.
Chill.
You're the guest. Let go of me, Fax. Jesus.
In terms of, like, whenever I've consumed One Piece, the only, the main things that have ever, like, broke me, as the YouTube titles always be, have always been backstory type things, and when they're like they've led into something. So the way he writes the shit is just, it's so good, and getting to re-experience it has been amazing, because this is my first time ever reading any manga as well.
Oh,
so
really?
I'm like blown away.
Oh wow.
Oh hell yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's gonna ruin manga for you. Oh no.
Oh shit.
No, I'm just kidding. That's crazy though. I didn't know
0 days since One Piece made me cry. I need to get a sign. But no, it's you know, talking about the flashback too, going to where, you know, he even got his devil fruit power, and how that came to be, and like the process through all of that, where it once again fed into what his personality is, right? He was looking out for number one the entire time, despite working who he works for, taking guts for that to be a thing as well. The way the whole situation plays out, it just goes to show how well, like, Oda crafts a story up front and then goes back and, like, he obviously knew what gaps he was going to fill in to begin with, because he is a madman and his brain is a maze. It's like, dude, it's too smart for me. But no, like, it just the way all that worked through, and like I said, who he's working with, and how it already showed, like, who he was willing to screw over to just get, like, even like a little bit of money to set him up. Mm-hmm. I love the way they did that, or he did that.
I love the way that he was humiliated. Like, just Luffy, just when he kicks him in the nuts, and he's just like, yeah,
I felt that.
That's right. And like you were saying,
the,
like,
face
the setup,
when they drew that too. Oh, like, yeah. Like, oh,
Buggy has some of the best. You felt faces that pain. In the anime. Yep. 100%.
I felt it, dude. Like when that happened, I was like, oh. Did that actually happen in the anime?
I think
it did. In the Four Kids dub, they changed it to him kicking him in the shins. But in the normal one,
that's
they
a true shit.
You can't have the Nutcracker on Four Kids, okay? It's not allowed.
I
can't teach kids that.
Yeah, but it's like, dude, but Buggy was like, and it shows, like, if Buggy stopped focusing on Nami taking the treasure, I don't think that he would have necessarily beat Luffy, but he would not have gotten clapped as much as he did.
It was a close fight. Like, yeah. It was
Luffy
a real
fight. Luffy kicked
him in the
nuts because he was distracted by Nami. Buggy got grabbed because Luffy grabbed his feet and started tickling and, like, slamming his toes and, like, fucking pinching him. And same thing, he's going after Nami. And then he also kicked him in the face. Like, he just kept getting brutalized like crazy from it. And then, of course...
Man can
all
take a punch.
That. Yeah. And all of that builds up, and he's still fine. And then Nami ties him up with the trusty rope that she mentions like 3-4 chapters earlier. Oh, I always carry rope on me.
Yup. And I love
tying
too,
it,
like,
together, literally.
Like, and you said, like, going back to that, like, it didn't, like, build up to it or anything like that. They were fighting. All of a sudden, boom, like, next panel, dude's tied up because he's trying to come back together, and it's just head and feet, like, and looking like Danny Buggy, DeVito, baby, just sitting there. Yeah. And it's, dude, and finally we got to see Bazooka as well. So, mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
yep.
I'm so curious because, like, I always hear about, like, the little side panels, which I know we'll get to as we progress through the manga, mm-hmm. that there's these little side stories that were never included in the anime. And apparently there's one about, like, Little Buggy and, like, what happened after they went off and did stuff. And
they actually did that one in the anime.
Did they? Okay, so maybe it was
That was when he was on the island. And kept trying to eat him.
Yeah.
Dude, Mini Buggy is... he's so adorable.
Dude, he's so good.
It's just, I love that he's just that and then just sends him out. But you're right, like, Luffy just has that tendency to just be like, all right, later. Like, I mean, the bazooka just works mm-hmm. so well, especially against Devil Fruit Eaters. You just send him out into the ocean, be like, well, mm-hmm. flip of a coin. You going to drown or you're not? I don't know. We'll find out.
And I love to... go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just reading. I'm just mumbling.
So, like, one thing that I do appreciate, too, and it goes back to, like, I swear to God, the man is just the character traits, right? Like, literally... Luffy can't lie about like hitting the mayor mm-hmm. to the townspeople,
he can't,
right?
Dude.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Like, he was like, yeah, I did that. I knocked him out.
Yeah, we're pirates. Like,
yeah, like, don't we're say pirates. That.
What?
Him
we
out.
Are pirates. Yeah. What's the problem? Like, it's like he like, can't man, lie.
All man game, had to do dude. Was like, he did it. And mm-hmm. nope, not possible. He cannot do it.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Choo Choo coming out as they're running and being chased by the townspeople. Yes. He comes out to defend them.
What a G!
Mm-hmm. The pirates that scammed or that were scammed by Nami waiting, and then yep. being like all schemey, ready to go. They see Zoro just book it out in the water.
Well, dude, well, his head was down, and then he just like lifts it back up or whatever. Oh like, my
no,
god!
No,
the payoff in that.
And then like the like, mayor well, too defending them too. Like the mayor stepped up and was like, "Don't you dare say anything bad about them."
God, just like the emotional payoff of all that, just there. Oh, like I know it's a smaller arc, I know, but it just, I don't know. The fact that it brought the three of them together too initially, like it does give you that nostalgia for like starting the series. Like it feels just as good mm-hmm. in the manga as it did in the anime.
Yeah, it really does. And that's what's weird is even though it's the same, it feels like you're getting to start over. Even though you kind of know what's right. coming, there's enough changes that it honestly feels worth it.
Genuinely, I'm surprised how much they actually like fit in within the arc within like only that many chapters. Like, it was very quick, but it also felt like they set up so many things, and like you don't even realize half of them at the same time. That's just so cool.
Oh, I know,
right? Yeah, it just blends in with like what the story's like or how the story's progressing, which is just good storytelling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I love like the final arc, like closing or final chapter, like closing the arc. Luffy just leaving the treasure behind and Nami trying to like drown him because hey, of it is just typical Luffy. And like the way that they just closed it out with the I guess you could call it a narrator in the manga of like saying that Nami like joins the crew. I liked was like a nice touch of like, hey, she actually joined this time.
When the mayor met them at the dock, it felt like at least memory serves, right? Like this is going up a long time ago, but it felt like they were way farther out in the water. But in the manga, like they were just like pushing off. They were just shoving off from the dock.
Right.
Like
there's a lot of small
to me that
changes.
Makes more sense. Like if you're just pushing off from the dock, you can easily have a conversation with someone as you're pushing away. But like in the manga, like at least in the anime, like for memory, it's like
tell that to Alabasta.
Oh yes,
that conversation makes no sense, but we will spoil that. We're gonna migrate into part two of this podcast for those that are listening, whether you're an audio listener. This is where we're gonna get into the more spoilery section where we're gonna talk about things that we noticed from this arc that went into future arcs and things like that. We're not gonna spoil anything past Impel Down. That's currently where Faxity is at, so of course we don't want to spoil him. So if you're at least caught up to Impel Down, you're golden, you're good to go. Pretty much if you've started Impel Down, if you're like five episodes in Impel Down, you're good to stick around. If not, you know, don't get spoiled. Check it out. But, you know, do the thing. Check us out at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube.com/90anime. We're everywhere. All right. So now
that five-star rating.
Yeah. Yeah, rate us 5 stars. Oh my God. Boom's a genius.
Yeah.
Hold on.
5 stars. Yeah.
Boom is a genius. That's why they brought me stars on iTunes by somebody called Jack R. Adams. 5-star. This will be the greatest One Piece podcast. Boom is the final Infinity Stone.
Hey!
Yo! Let's go!
You know, rate us 5 stars
on
iTunes.
Told my mom to leave a review. I didn't realize it was going to be a nice one.
Let's go! But definitely check out the socials. Go follow it on Spotify and all that. Help us get the numbers up. The ratings really do help. They really, really do. So go check that out. But let's just dive into stuff. Facts. Buggy's return. What are your thoughts? Literally watching Buggy's return in Impel Down mere minutes before we started this podcast.
We literally waited for him to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I can't remember. Did we ever see Buggy without a hat for this?
I don't think so.
No, okay. Because that man has some luscious locks.
No.
He does. Oh my God.
Washing that shit with horse and mane. Are you kidding me?
Yep. I mean, you have, there's so much. Amazing. That you have, like, the callback, like, showing the ship. Like, at that point, they don't tell you. We find out, like, episode 300, ish, something like that, 300-something, is, you know, it being Roger's ship and finding out that they are on Roger's ship together. And somebody we can't talk about because it would spoil facts, but somebody was teased in that panel, which is kind of crazy to think about, especially, like, if you think about that fact, you're what, 420-something episodes in,
he knows who that person is. Right?
I don't think so. Am I mixing arcs up? I'm pretty sure he hasn't seen it yet. I'm pretty confident about that.
Let me. I can try Googling it real quick.
Double check. But I'm pretty sure. But I also might be just mixing something.
Saba Odie's before Impel.
Actually, no, he would. Yeah, you would know. You would.
Yeah, I was like, really? I was like, am I going crazy?
Really?
Yeah, no,
really?
Yeah, it's me. I was going crazy. It's been a while. Yeah, really? I was worried. Like, I was worried about spoiling, but like that, they damn, show up there. Really that far back.
Yes.
That far back, crazy. Dude.
Really?
Yes.
It took me
If you pull up the thing, it was easier for me to tell because I was reading it in color. Tell, but he had short hair. Yep. He's the one that broke up the fight. So he's the one that punched Buggy and broke up the fight.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Dude, the crazy thing is there's so many small details. Like what I was telling Boom is, you know, I'm coming up on episode 800. I was in an arc in the 700s, right? Somebody that I was introduced to in the 700s who became like one of my favorite characters was teased back in Loguetown in the manga. You could see him and his hair.
Bro.
Yeah. Like, dude, the amount of stuff that Oda like just teases and you have no idea. Like, I stand by this that I already know. Like, when I catch up to this fucking manga, I'm going to want to go back and read our anime. I'm going to want to go back and read it again because I'm sure there's stuff that I haven't even seen yet. That there's tie-ins that I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy to think about.
Oh, that's like, dude. That was just like random tidbits in Thriller Bark that actually like 200 episodes later actually matter as well. And it's just like, what? But no, so like my literal notes for the Rayleigh thing was Rayleigh... stop Shanks and Buggy from fighting? Question mark. That shit's dope.
mine was a certain character shown on this crew, and then in all caps, Fax hasn't seen this. I mixed up the arcs. I don't know why. You know what I think it was? Is I was thinking. I think I mixed it up with like a later thing, and I'm like, oh, all right. But there was so many like random, just. Callbacks that were they seem so minor at the time, but I feel like this arc, opposed to like the first arc that we watched, there was so many tie-ins from that first arc to stuff later on. Like it was just tie-in. And here all we really had was, you know, the ship not knowing it's Rogers, having that get revealed 300 episodes later, Rayleigh getting revealed not long after that, and finding out that he's on there. But I feel like for this arc, it was mostly just like seeing Zoro's crazy side, seeing how strong he is, seeing like what he's willing to do, like Nami, seeing, you know, her willing to fight, learning about her, and like getting all that set up. And I'm super excited for the next arc, just because I feel like Usopp's underrated, and I'm hoping that when I finish Syrup Village this time, that my opinion will be better than it was when I first saw it, because I love Usopp now.
Well, the thing I'm wondering too when we actually finally get to Syrup Village is how quickly that story is going to move in the manga comparatively to the anime, because mm-hmm. like, you know, there's some stuff that could obviously be cut in my head, and mm-hmm. and I just want to see how much it actually does that. But yeah, the callbacks are just I genuinely don't, like, I can't fathom how he does it. Mm-hmm. Like, same. He either has to have like this insanely like huge board mm-hmm. that like literally that pinpoints every single character to date and like the last time he used them and the first time he used them, because mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, if it's literally just coming off the top of this man's head, like, yo, biggest brain that. Ever.
Like, I've wondered if just like when he makes crowds like of people and there's multiple people, like, I've always wondered if he just is like, I'm going to design one character with a cool design just in case I want to tie this in, because it makes you wonder, right? Like, I think he clearly knew that was going to be Roger's ship. Did he know that Rayleigh was going to be Rayleigh? Like, I believe he knew that Rayleigh
was going to
be
wondering.
Somebody, but it makes me wonder, like, did he know that it was going to be Rayleigh? And same thing even with some of, like, the previous chapters from the first arc. Like, it just makes you wonder, and, like, that the character I'm talking about that gets teased in Loguetown. Like, I'm just like, did he just, like, I'm going to draw this character because it looks cool, and then, like, if I want to use him, I can. And I could find a way to tie it in. Like, I would love to know.
I almost assume that, right? Like, I think, like, he just, like, if he ends up liking what he drew that day, and he's like, oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And just going back to that, like, I can't imagine. I don't know. I'm not a smart man. I'm not smart enough to figure out how he does this. That's why I'm here talking about it as opposed to doing my own thing.
He's a fucking mad lad, dude.
The fact that he can even, like, think about how to tie in, like, just one drawing of, like, a character and some random thing to, like, something else that happens later is, like, insane.
Mm-hmm.
And with, like, giving that character backstory and everything, like, shit, that just doesn't... It blows my mind how insane mm-hmm. he is.
Guys, remember, don't bring up characters past Impel Down.
Yeah, we'd appreciate
that. He just started Impel Down. He is not into Impel Down.
Yeah, he's
ignore you, Chad.
He literally got to the episode in Impel Down where Buggy was announced. He literally stopped one episode prior, and we double checked right before this. That's why the podcast live got delayed an hour, because we were like, go watch that episode real quick. You know, maybe a good idea. Just a thought. You know what I mean? Like, so one quote I liked a lot, and I'm kind of bummed I didn't mention it, but it's fine because, you know, whatever. Was when Luffy's saying that he wants to be king of the pirates, and Buggy is like, I'm gonna become god of the pirates.
Yeah.
And yes.
I hope that comes back at some point. Like, I hope in the future, like, whether it's chapter 1300 or whatever the fuck chapter it is, that they're just like, I am, like, it doesn't have to be an official role. He could just call himself that. Like, I don't care what he does.
Right.
Just call himself the god of the pirates.
Did he say that in the anime?
I don't think so. I don't remember it.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember them saying that.
But there's a possibility.
I mean, we can't spoil it because Fax is here. But yeah, mm-hmm. off camera, I want to talk to you guys about like the possible fruition of that one day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would love to see him take steps for that to eventually become a thing.
Same. I'd be fine. I look. If Buggy becomes the god of the pirates or the king of the pirates or whatever, that's fine. He can have it. As long as Luffy gets the title for a second. Just like, you know,
he just said god.
And Buggy just takes it back. He's like, this is mine. Fuck you. Can you imagine if that's imagine how it ends? Luffy finds the One Piece, and he opens the treasure, and it's just a note from Buggy. Be like, ha.
Oh,
bitch.
My god, bro.
You could be king of the pirates, but I'm god of the pirates. And then
we just get credits. That's yep. just where oh it ends. God. That's the end of One Piece.
You're welcome. You thought it was friendship? No, it was Buggy.
It was not. Well, I hope you all liked this episode of the One Piece Manga Bros podcast, Orangetown, Chapter 8, 2. It was 21, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is our...
it's 21.
What is next week? Let's take a look here. Next podcast, remember, this is a bi-weekly podcast. It goes up on Fridays, but we do stream it on Wednesdays when we're able to. So this was Orangetown. We will be doing Syrup Village next time with none other than Tekking 101. If you don't know Tekking, he's one of the bigger One Piece YouTubers. Some people like to call him one of the One Piece YouTuber Yonkos, but you know, we got some guests. We got a lot more guests coming. Remember to go check everybody out. All of our individual channels are in the YouTube description. Go check out Faxity. He's reacting to One Piece. Remember, he's in Impel Down. Check out Boom. He's coming to the close of a certain island. And
that sounds exciting. All right.
Yeah, a certain island.
All right.
Exactly. Exactly.
A certain aquarium-esque thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm hanging out with the rabbits, baby. I'm hanging out with the rabbits. Sione's delicious. He's feeling good. Look, I'm trying not to spoil anybody. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the things. And we will see you next time for the One Piece Manga Bros Podcast. Later.
Enjoy it.
Bye.